Hello and welcome to Love Your Neighbor, a podcast exploring how healthy Christian politics begins in our congregations and neighborhoods. Each episode, we discuss how local engagement in public life can become a spiritual practice and how we can love our neighbors in today's complicated world.
I'm your host, Ross Kane. On this first episode, I'm going to lay out the hopes for this podcast so listeners have a sense of what to expect. Most episodes, I'll be in conversation with someone else, hearing wisdom from pastors, practitioners, scholars, or community workers. But first, it's useful to lay a little groundwork. This podcast aims to help us think differently about Christianity and politics. Healthy Christian politics starts in our congregations and in our neighborhoods. That is, healthy Christian politics starts with Jesus' commandment, love your neighbor. Jesus doesn't just mean this metaphorically. He also means it literally. Love your actual neighbors. Love your neighborhood. Seek good for your neighborhood. Seek justice and love for your neighborhood. And as we learn in the parable of the Good Samaritan, love people who are different from you. Love people you might encounter by surprise. I want to make 3 points on today's episode to explain this reorientation for Christianity and politics. The first is the most basic. What do we mean by politics? The second point is that for Christians, the congregation is central to our understanding of political life. The third point is that politics can be a spiritual practice. Yes, you heard that right. Politics is not only an arena of conflict and strife, though we get that too. It's also an arena of spiritual practice and spiritual transformation. Let's dig into the first point. How do we define politics? In a most basic sense, politics is simply the process of sorting out how a community lives together and makes its decisions. That's how we talk about politics on this podcast, the process of sorting out how a community lives together and makes its decisions. Politics in this broadest sense encompasses all sorts of things. Politics in a workplace, in community groups, in a nonprofit, in church. This definition of politics also encompasses larger communities like states, nation states, and global politics. All of this is politics. But to be clear, politics is not just the nation state stuff. We use politics in this basic sense all the time in our ordinary language. We talk about work politics, nonprofit politics, and of course, church politics. Pastors in congregations of any size know that their job often feels like being mayor of a small town, right? As different constituencies pull the pastor in all sorts of directions. Anyone who's served on their local church's council or board has probably talked about church politics and the difficulties of navigating competing interests in their community. Now, let me be clear. I have no illusions about how difficult and tedious such church politics can be. But if we attend to these politics as spiritual practice, then we can find good news there. If politics is all around us in our most ordinary communities, then that gives us more space for hope than if we only focus on nation-state politics. Working with fellow church members in a local soup kitchen is a form of church politics, politics as neighbor love, since it involves all sorts of community decision-making and is also a public act of service to neighbors and strangers. Politics is in an ordinary church meeting when people decide to start a new ministry that helps neighbors. Politics is in a nonprofit's decision to collaborate more closely with the people they aim to be serving. Politics is in an ordinary church coffee hour that builds beloved community between members. Politics is in the very act of worship in churches when Christians proclaim ourselves to be God's people. And so politics isn't only about the will to power or some people trying to dominate others or the struggle for control. More fundamentally, politics is about our interdependence and how we shape that interdependence. Politics shapes social fabric. While bad politics tears that social fabric, good politics heals it. Congregations can play an indispensable role in re-knitting the social fabric that gives wholeness to our lives. That work happens through internal congregational politics and through works of love and justice in our towns and cities. This theme of interdependence will come up a lot on this podcast, for politics is fundamentally about human interconnection and interdependence, which flows from the love that God has for each and every human person. Politics clearly means much more than statecraft here, even though we have a tendency to focus so much on that aspect of it. But there are losses when we focus exclusively on politics as statecraft. Politics can feel distant from our ordinary lives, as if voting once or twice a year is our main means of political participation. Such distance can make us feel gloomy about politics, since, frankly, each of us has limited power to enact change on a state level. State politics can also get us caught up in unhealthy partisanship, pushing us to engage community life based on partisan identities rather than people and issues. Partisans can encourage us to make enemies rather than learning to live together as neighbors. If we can recognize the politics of the most ordinary places in our lives and communities, and see how often such communities lead us to spiritual transformation, we can begin to see anew what Jesus means when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God or the reign of God. For a kingdom or reign is something quite political, after all. A politics of good news, in this case, grounded in God's love and justice. So that's the first point. Politics as embedded in ordinary life. Politics as interdependence. In short, politics is the process of sorting out how a community lives together and makes its decisions. The second point is that, for Christians, the congregation is central to our understanding of political life. We often take for granted how central the congregation is for Christianity and how political any congregation is. The congregation is a public thing. It's a gathered community that joins together to worship God and serve neighbors. Christians take our weekly worship for granted sometimes, but gathering a community of constituents on a weekly basis without having to do major outreach campaigns to bring people together, that's an enviable thing in public life. In this sense, our congregations are powerful political entities, especially when we're organized for loving neighbors. The very word church has some of these ideas embedded in it. The Greek word for church in the New Testament, ecclesia, actually referred to a town assembly. It was an assembly of citizens that made decisions for the community. Christians retooled the word for our own purposes. Early Christians clearly recognized that our congregations are public things. I like to think about congregations in public life in terms of concentric circles. The middle and central circle is our congregation. The next circle is our neighborhood, the next our town or city, and it expands like that through nation-state and international politics. Let me break these down. The middle circle is our congregation. That's the heart of Christian political life. The congregation is our grounding in politics, a community in which we, hopefully, experience the love of God through one another in shared worship and service to neighbors. There are politics within that circle, of course, and those politics should be good news. At its best, a congregation is a community of loving interdependence that models a life based on love of God and neighbor. Congregations can be communities of love and justice, both internally and in relation to our neighbors. And so tending congregational politics really matters, not just for the congregation, but also for its work in the wider neighborhood. In my experience as a pastor, congregations who struggle with infighting rarely have the capacity or the bandwidth to serve their neighbors well. And then congregations with healthy internal politics can easily engage their neighborhood because they're drawing from a grounding and a source of love that is their already existing community life. So congregational politics matter, and in ordinary ways. How we organize our meetings, how we plan outreach campaigns, how we run Bible studies, all of it matters in building a healthy church culture. So that's the middle central circle, our congregation. The next concentric circle is the neighborhood around the congregation. That's the next arena of politics, which the congregation encounters through serving neighbors, offering hospitality to neighbors, and sharing life with the neighborhood. That neighborhood becomes a place of ordinary political engagement. And I don't mean political engagement in the sense that a congregation supports certain candidates for town council or something like that. Instead, I mean ordinary actions like welcoming strangers, serving people who struggle to pay their bills, sharing a church's building with a neighborhood group. These are the ordinary acts of Christian neighborhood politics. We then get to towns and cities. We can engage public life in our towns and cities through our already existing connections with neighborhood life. This outer concentric circle draws from the center circles. They aren't separate. The inner circles feed and inform our work in the outer concentric circles. What might this look like? In one congregation I served, we had an emergency assistance ministry for people struggling to pay things like utility bills. As we talked more and more with people who came looking for help, we heard them talk about other struggles, especially struggles to pay rent. The price of housing was skyrocketing in our town. So we started to get involved with housing affordability. That community engagement grew out of our congregation's own experience with neighbors. And that's a very healthy model. Local matters of love and justice in one's neighborhood become instigators for engaging politics more widely in one city and beyond. So this pattern can continue through to state politics and national politics too. But I found that it's not always healthy for a congregation to leapfrog to national politics if they aren't engaged locally. When churches jump to national politics without engaging local politics, their work can get abstracted from a congregation's own life. It can lack the healthy roots that sustain long-term public engagement. Throughout all of these concentric circles, our public life as Christians should be based in love. It's easy to think that only the inner circles, congregational life, or other interior circles like that, can be based in love. And then the role of love decreases as we move to outward circles like city life or national politics. But in Christianity, all human relationships should be based in love. We need not resign ourselves to politics inevitably filled with domination and wrongdoing. Love is the basis of all politics, however distorted that love might be. And that's something Christian saints from Augustine to Martin Luther King Jr. to Desmond Tutu have all said. That's because we are made to love. And we can only love in communities. There's no realm of politics beyond the reach of God's love. All this talk of love brings us to the third and final point, that politics can be a spiritual practice. Politics proves integral to spiritual wholeness, not opposed to spiritual wholeness. We don't find that spiritual wholeness on our own. We find it with and through other people. We find it in community. And again, any community involves politics. Prayer and politics have a lot in common, after all. We often associate prayer with these moments of serenity and calm, feeling an abiding sense of God's presence. And politics, we might associate then with conflict and strife. But prayer and politics have a lot in common. Both involve a certain persistence. Both require a commitment to mundane experiences that slowly build transformation. Both require us to let go of our expectations and let the Spirit move unexpectedly. Both push us to recognize our interdependence, in part through listening. I think it enhances our spirituality and our politics to recognize these similarities. Our lives, after all, are not meant to be fragmented between a private spirituality on the one hand and the rest of our lives on the other. We often imagine politics and religion as separate realms of human experience. Politics happens in public, religion happens in private. The trouble with this view, though, is that our faith influences all sorts of things in our lives, including, for this podcast, how we treat neighbors. Institutional separation between a church and state, I think, is healthy, but That doesn't mean dividing our spiritual life from our everyday public life. In public and private life alike, for Christians, love lies at the center. When our spiritual life becomes integrated into our ordinary social and public life, we can discover spiritual wholeness amid fragmentation and hope amid disappointment. We can see how thoroughly our lives are interconnected with God and with one another. We can find ourselves part of something much greater than ourselves, which is the work of the Holy Spirit in the world to heal and repair. Practices of prayer remind us that political change does not depend entirely on us, and so we can also accept disappointments, sensing the ever unfinished quality of political action. Short-term disappointments and defeats are never the end of the story. In my own prayer life and in my political action alike, I've found that major transformations usually only happen after multiple disappointments or defeats. And after we've accepted the disappointments and defeats, sometimes long after, we find major shifts taking place, whether in our spirits or in our public life. We may even look back and see that amid losses there was headway that we could not perceive at the time. We cannot control the process of seeking justice and repair in our communities, just as we cannot control the process of our own spiritual transformation. We have to relinquish control and cooperate with the Holy Spirit, knowing that there's this kind of ever unfinished quality to spiritual transformation and to political action gives us some reassurance. It's a reassurance that enables us to enter spiritual transformation and political action without fear. We see that just as transformation in ourselves through prayer often takes years to come to fruition, so also there are many works of political healing and repair that have taken generations to come about and may take yet more. And this is not a reason for despair, I think. It helps us see ourselves for what we are. One small piece of the Spirit's enormous work of redemption, and an indispensable piece. This perspective gives us hope in the long term, but also a kind of immediate expectancy. We're constantly listening for what God's Spirit will do next. So to sum up, healthy Christian politics starts with Jesus' commandment, love your neighbor. First, that means politics is all around us in anything that involves community building. That politics should be centered in loving interdependence rather than the will to power or the desire to dominate. Second, for Christians, the congregation proves central to our political life. Our congregations are public things in both their worship and their service to neighbors. Third and finally, ordinary politics can be a spiritual practice, something that deepens our connection to God and one another. For more in-depth engagement with these ideas that we'll be returning to in this podcast, I encourage you to check out my book, The Good News of Church Politics. The book offers a guide to congregational politics both internally and in relation to neighborhoods, towns, and cities. Future podcasts will involve conversations with others, expanding our wisdom around neighbor love. Some episodes we'll be hearing from churches doing something creative, like building affordable housing on their physical plant. Others we might hear from a spiritual director talking about public life and spirituality. Still others I'll talk with scholars about Christian ethical traditions of neighbor love. The idea is to bring a wide variety of voices who together help us better love our neighbors. I hope to see you on future episodes. For now, let me encourage you to check out episode 2. When I interview Dr. Lerone Martin of Stanford University, talking about how the civil rights movement in the United States depended on, you guessed it, local congregations. See you next time.
Thank you for listening. We invite your comments and ideas on what you would like to hear in future episodes, so be in touch. If you like what you hear on this podcast, take a moment to subscribe and leave us a review. You can also visit our website at www.rosscain.com/loveyourneighbor. Let's expand the community of people discussing how we can love our neighbors today.